Cleveland. A production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio. Your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Good afternoon and welcome to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Some things never change. Scott's already turning my microphone down.
Well, I mean, we went through this elaborate setup at the beginning of the show. Make sure that we get Jamie at a volume that most normal people can understand and hear. And then as soon as it starts, it's excitement.
It's over.
The excitement for the show. He's ready for it to go.
That's exactly right. So you might have noticed the new name, and actually the new name really has the same great people, and I did call us great, the same great people involved in it, but really excited about the change. You're going to get all you need to know about NASCAR information. You can tune in here every week in Cleveland, Athens, Polk County, in the surrounding area, and you can get all your up-to-date news on NASCAR. I'm Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb. We've got our NASCAR contributor, Jason Hildebrand, and a special guest in the studio today. I don't know that I'd call him special, but a guest. We've got Mr. Sean Whitfield. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I've heard that before. I'm not too special.
Well, that's what you call me when I come down.
Well, I don't think that's all right. That was in that sentence that he called you.
Well, and that's all we can say on radio.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, glad to be here and excited about what we've got going on here new on 101.3 The Buzz.
Yeah, very exciting. And for those of you who don't know, this is Whitfield Media Productions. So there might be a little bit of a relationship between Sean Whitfield and Whitfield Media Productions.
And it's not Whitfield County, by the way.
That's true.
That happens often.
He could be the mayor of Whitfield County, maybe. I don't know. So much, guys, has happened in the off season. We've had a lot of changes, but before we get to that, I want to know what you guys have done. It seemed like this offseason kind of has flown by. It's almost like college football, right? You get done with the national championship.
Well,
game,
I'd like, yeah, I would, a month and since a half we're going to talk about college football, I guess we need to go ahead and get Jason's sob story and get it out of the way as his Alabama Crimson Tide.
All right, well,
losing the championship game,
then that's over with. So it just happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, the worst things could happen. You know, off season, you know, I spent wrapping up college football, went to the Peach Bowl, went to Tampa, go back, watch the Falcons lose. It's one of those things. But off season's been really good. It's been a good time trying to dodge sickness everywhere, whether it be work, whether it be home. It's been good. It's been good so far.
The pandemic has hit Cleveland, Tennessee, and Bradley County since it's happened. Scott Webb?
Well, I mean, hey, I'm just happy to be back. Happy to be sitting in this chair as opposed to laying on a couch like I've had for the last few days. It's been the crud has been chasing me down for the last several days, but excited to be back. It's been a great, it's always great to kind of step away and from the show, and I think it just kind of gears you up and gets you more ready for this off season. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's been a wild and wacky, and that is saying a lot when you're talking about NASCAR, that you've had a wild and wacky and crazy off season, because that's the norm for this sport. But a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for a lot of teams out there. We're really excited to be bringing you this, not really new show, but a new twist on the show. And we're excited about all the changes and a lot more stuff to come as we've been able to partner with Sean and Whitfield Media Group and proud to be really the sister show to Valvoline Racing Radio that Sean's a big part of down in Chattanooga.
Which I always say that if you think about NASCAR in Chattanooga and the surrounding areas, you always think about Sean Whitfield, because Sean, I believe it's been 17 years, right, that you've been on the air?
Well, actually, 2 weeks ago started 16 years.
16. I tried to give you one more.
It feels like 17. it's hard to believe it's been 16 years. Valvoline Racing Radio on Rock 105 actually started as something for fun that was a way to help increase the brand awareness for Valvoline and Whitfield Oil Company, a company that I'm a part of. We distribute all the Valvoline that you see throughout East Tennessee, North Georgia, and throughout a good portion of Alabama. And then it turned into, something that's kind of stuck with us, and then started doing some television. So It's one of those things in life that I never imagined I would be doing, and that's on the radio enjoying something that I love to talk about, and that's NASCAR.
Well, you certainly have a face
for
radio.
Did he just big dog us? He dropped, you know, TV and all this other stuff. he's big dogging us. He's big timing us over there.
Now, when I walked in, I saw a TV set in there, so you guys.
Hey, man, listen, we're ready to rock and roll it if we want to. We've done a little TV in the past, me and Jason, and actually all three of us did a little stuff for Mr. Heartline in a website down there not too long ago. So we're always, the door's always open to exploring those options.
Don't get Sean started. He'll be up here every Wednesday,
yeah,
and we'll
man.
Be back
Jeez.
On TV again. So.
Yeah.
Hey, that may be in the future. Hey. But I wanted to say this. You guys may be like I was and the way Casey is, my co-host on Valvoline Race Radio. By the time we get November, we're starting to get some NASCAR fatigue. We're ready for a break. We get through December, it's nice having some weeks off and so forth, but by January 1st, we got NASCAR fever, and by mid to latter part of January, we're ready to go back at it.
Big time.
Right, and you know, I think what gets me is once they start testing, and you start seeing some of the testing and stuff going on, I mean, I'm watching IndyCar testing at Phoenix the other day on Twitter. They're on Periscope, that's because I need a little racing fix, you know? Couldn't wait for the 24 hours at Daytona. We had a chance last week on the Sports Drive to talk with Grant Wild, the president down there at Daytona. So it was the juice is starting to flow, and we're really going to kind of jump in with both feet starting this weekend. It's great. It's my weekend, especially once football's over and NFL season's over, man. You've got to have something on that Saturday night, Sunday to kind of fill that gap, and I'm ready to see some racing coming up.
Big time. So it should be exciting. That's the one thing I was telling my wife the other day, is that it seems like it goes by fast, but then again, like Sean said, at the 1st of January, you start kind of getting ready for it to happen. And NASCAR didn't really leave us a lot of time this offseason to really think about anything else with everything that kind of happened. And one of the things that I was thinking about a couple weeks ago is in the 34 years, and I'm 39 years old, so, you know, 5 years old, I was at my first Daytona race. I don't remember the amount of changes that have happened in an offseason being this much. And it very well could have been, but I mean, you think about some of the things that have happened, and then you look back and you think, well, it's you know, we had the Car of Tomorrow. That was kind of a big deal, and then it kind of went by the wayside. But never different facets, I guess, of NASCAR racing has changed as much. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about on the show today, or a couple of things we're going to talk about on the show today is we've got for the first time in over, you know, a decade, more than a decade, we've got a new sponsor for NASCAR's Premier Series. That's a huge thing. We've got drivers that have retired, you know, that you wouldn't think were going to retire maybe. We also, you know, have a new point system or basically the way the races are going to be run. So very exciting time in NASCAR, and especially, you know, if you're new to the sport and you want to try to jump in and take a look at it, this is going to be an exciting time when NASCAR starts here in like a week and a half. We're ready to go. All right, let's get to the first thing I wanted to talk about today, and that was kind of the drivers, right? We had a couple of drivers that, well, one we knew that was retiring in Tony Stewart. The other we didn't know, and then we had a driver that didn't really retire, just doesn't have a ride, right? So Tony Stewart we knew was retiring. We knew Clint Bowyer was going to take over that. Sean, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Clint Bowyer had a really good career at Richard Childress Racing, semi-good career, I guess, at Roush is where he kind of got a start. Then he goes to this team last year in H. Scott Motorsports and really is not competitive at all. What's your opinion on how his adjustment period would be from going with a team with no equipment to a team that has really good equipment?
Well, basically, a good way to describe 2016 for Clint Bowyer is the fact it was miserable because he was with a team and organization that he knew didn't have the money, didn't have the equipment, nor the ability to put him in a race car that could even get into the top 10, much less the top 20. So it was a waiting period. However, you know, Clint was in a situation that he knew the best was yet to come, and right. That is replacing Tony Stewart. So this is a dream that Clint's been waiting for. It's been a long time since he's been in victory lane. Lucky for him, he doesn't have to step into Tony Stewart's shoes, and have to overcome a lot of challenges because, as we've seen for the last couple of years, Tony Stewart hasn't been performing well himself. So it's not like he's got to come in and fill in for Carl Edwards like Suarez is about to do. He's got to come in and he's going to have to perform as well as Carl Edwards, or he's going to have to be close. Whereas with Clint Bowyer, he doesn't have those big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and you think about the other switch too, Scott, with you've got, you know, they're switching.
Well, I think they knew, and Jason, you can comment on this. I think they knew that the switch would, you know, they announced really early last year that Bowyer was going to be in that spot. So I think last year was just sort of persevere till I can get the opportunity to get into that car. Yeah. I think that the bigger change though is that organization moving to Ford this year.
Yeah,
as a whole,
you look at them, and you know they're all on board with that. You know, even from Kevin Harvick not driving for Junior Motorsports anymore in the Chevrolet. You know, one of those things, and Shawnee did a great job of touching on this, Clint Bowyer just biding his time there. He knew what this was, a short term thing. I'm going to suck it up, and then my next year is in the 14 car. So you know, it's a good addition for that Stuart Haas. Bringing Bowyer in, 37-year-old. He's got 3 Career Cup wins. So, you know, it's going to be good for that organization, though.
Should make for a definitely interesting to find out, because it's almost like to me, if you've got one of those teams, in baseball this happens a lot, is you'll have a team that has a huge lead, you know, in the standings, and they'll kind of take it easy for a little bit or whatever, and then it's hard to get readjusted and get back in. And I wanted to see if he's got kind of that period.
Well, don't you think that I think that the motivation that the year that Bowyer went through last year should help motivate him for this year.
Right.
Because he knows how miserable it was and what, you know, what it's like not to be in good stuff. And now you're going to turn around and you're going to be back in one of the top echelon teams in the sport, and you're going to have good stuff and you're going to be able to compete. So it makes him appreciate where he's been and where he's going a little better and helps motivate him. You know, this is a guy that, you know, other than, you know, what was it? It was scratching his arm from, you know, causing the chase thing that happened a couple years ago to now he's kind of hit the bottom and now he's going to be back on top.
To add to what Scott you said a moment ago, mentioning that they were going to Ford, or they have gone to Ford for 2017. When I think of shocking news off the racetrack for 2017, the fact that Stuart Haas Racing has made the decision early last year to go to Ford was probably the biggest piece of shocking news of the entire season, especially when they had done so well with Kevin Harvick and Chevrolet.
Right, you're talking about one of the top. I mean, we've talked about this for the last couple of years. You can't talk. You know, we've done power rankings and we make fun of all that stuff, but you couldn't hardly do a power ranking without Kevin Harvick in it, because that car was up near the front all year long, and not just his relationship, you know, with his crew chief Childress, but you know, just how dominant he's been at times and stretches over the course of the last couple of years. And for him to be comfortable, and for that whole organization, I agree with you, Sean. I think it's the biggest news of the offseason is how that transition is going to work. We're constantly seeing changes with points and cars and all this. That's just, you know, that's the same old for NASCAR. I think this is going to be one of the big storylines of the season.
Very much so. The second biggest off-season storyline, in my opinion, as far as drivers go, is Carl Edwards. I don't think anybody saw this coming, and still I think there's questions because he tried his best to answer it, but really didn't give a reason other than his health and wanted to do other things of getting out of racing. It seemed to happen really fast, Sean, when it all went down. It seemed like there was a conversation with him and Joe Gibbs, and then it was 2 days later he was announcing he was stepping away.
Well, and let's make sure that we set the record straight. We do not use the R word when we talk about Carl Edwards.
I've heard about that.
Because he made it very clear in his news conference that he is not saying he's retiring, even though he is stepping away from the race car. This could be permanent or it could be, you know, temporary.
Is that going to be dependent upon whether or not he gets the senatorial nomination for the Republican Party in Missouri?
Well, it could be like Mark Martin, where he comes back a few times.
Yeah.
So who knows? But the shocking piece of news in this story to me was the fact that he did not make the decision until mid-December, right before Christmas. He goes to Joe Gibbs right before Christmas. Typically, these kind of major changes with sponsors and a driver not driving for a team owner happen a year in advance. So he put Joe Gibbs Racing in a tough situation, luckily, he was dealing with a team owner that is easy to work with and was understandable and was willing to let him out of his contract.
Yeah, that was a huge shock. I remember seeing that on Twitter and was like, there's no way this is happening. Seemed like he was too young in his career.
I think that was stunning, but, you know, it's, you know, I think we've always thought that maybe there's something outside the sport for him. But with, at a guy that literally was, what, laps away from winning a championship last year? I mean, and all of a sudden, you know, 3-4 weeks later, up and retires. I mean, what a story.
I say in my 16 years of doing a show, that is in the top three most shocking moments, and that is
Carl. Well, and how ironic that he wrecks his car, he gets out, walks all the way back. It's like he was walking away from the sport. You know, it's, I don't know. That sounded kind of good, didn't it?
Now let me ask you this. Does, with one of the sport's biggest stars in Dale Earnhardt Jr. being out last year for that extended period of time with concussion symptoms and suffering those concussions, does that have anything to do with Carl stepping away, thinking about his own personal health? I'm just curious.
I absolutely think it does. And he even made comment that that got him to thinking a little more serious about his future in the sport. His wife's a doctor. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there was some discussions there with his wife or family that had him thinking about health for the long term.
Yeah, it's very good. So we have got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Greg Biffle. I mean, not really a big story. We'll hit on that really quick. But then we're going to talk about the new sponsorship for NASCAR's series. We're excited about this. This won't be the Sprint Cup Series anymore. It's going to be something else. We'll tell you about that when we come back. For Scott Webb, for Jason Hildebrand, Sean Whitfield, I'm Jamie Kyle. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, if I could start pushing the right buttons, we'd be in much better shape.
Well, it's the first show, right? We have to mess up until we get it right. But make sure you tune in every week, every Wednesday, 5 to 6 o'clock on 101.3 The Buzz. If you're not in your car near radio, you can go to the TuneIn app. Search Chattanooga, and you can find 1570
The Buzz. 1570 The Buzz. That's the way you got to search for it because it doesn't come up on 101.3.
And you will be able to hear us on there. I'm Jamie Kyle. We have Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Sean Whitfield, our special guest in the studio. We've been talking about the offseason and how crazy it was. Talked about a couple of drivers that one has not wanting to use the R word and say he's retiring and stepped away in Carl Edwards. Tony Stewart did step away. Greg Biffle, one of the things that I was thinking about with him is the fact that it's not like he really pursued, it seems like, a ride in the offseason. It's almost like he wanted to step away, kind of like a Carl Edwards, and get away from it for a while, maybe evaluate what he's got going on. I don't know. It's been something that you look at him and what he says on Twitter and stuff like that. It's not like he wants to get back in. I've never really seen anything like that except maybe Sean Harry Gant, somebody that would walk away like that and not really say they're retiring but just walk away.
Now, I'm not old enough to remember Harry Gant, so I'm going to have to take your word for it.
Okay.
Skull Bandit car, you don't remember that?
Oh, yeah. I do. That was some glory days in NASCAR. But with Greg Biffle, he may be in a very similar situation as Carl Edwards. There's other things in life that he would prefer to do. And I think once you reach to a certain level as a driver where you've won some championships, you've won races, you've had some success, it is too disappointing and too depressing to go backwards and to go with a team that can't put a car in victory lane. And so I can understand and respect, if I was a driver like that, if I can't be in the best, and as long as I'm financially secure, that is a good time to step away from the sport. He's made comment that he wants to pursue some television. He's had some conversations with some of the networks. And I do understand he's going to be doing some guest appearances, but as far as his future on the track, it's unknown.
Jason, your opinion on Roush Fenway. It's kind of like now that Greg Biffle's out, you lose your elder statesman, you start really over from scratch with a very young, you know, lineup of drivers.
Yeah, and you're looking, that's a team that's really struggled for really the past 3 or 4 years. You know, you look at Biffle, who was basically the bell cow, hadn't had a win since 2013. 47 years old, but he'd had accumulated 19 wins in his NASCAR career. It's a program, Roush Fenway, that has struggled, and we've documented it here. We've seen it documented on, you know, the national websites and whatnot. they've gone younger, of course, you know, but it's just a struggle for them week in and week out, it seems to be.
Well, I mean, it's been, you know, we have hammered Biffle and that organization hard on this show. And at some point, I think you got to reboot. And I think this is now they are going to two cars, so they're so that I think that can maybe they can kind of pull their energy a little bit more into the two cars, and then, you know, going with some younger guys. You know, we've still not seen a lot out of Stenhouse, not consistently. And the other one escapes is
Trevor Bayne.
Yeah, Bayne. We've seen Bayne have good stretches of run, but I think as an organization as a whole, they just need to kind of step back, refocus, and try to kind of push forward. They've got some good young drivers in that organization. They've got some stars. I'm a big Bubba Wallace fan. I think he'll be a guy that can compete for them and be a serious player 2-3 years from now. But they organizationally, they got to get their stuff together, and they got to start finding a way to produce fast race cars. That ultimately is what it's all about. They've been, you know, if you're not out there and running with the big boys, you're falling behind, and they have fallen behind, especially since Carl Edwards left a couple years ago.
I think you look at their team as a whole, and you look at Jack Roush. You've got Rick Hendrick that's an older owner, Richard Childress. Both of them seem to be in pretty good shape. I don't know that Jack is as good as he was before, and I think that's the thing that's hurting the team is he's not willing to let go to let somebody else help the team move forward is what it seems like to me.
Is it that, or is it that, you know, they've had – this organization that 6, 7, 8 years ago was one of the best in the business, and they've had a lot of talent. And I'm not just talking about driver talent. I'm talking about engineering, you know, crew chief, managers, all this sort of stuff kind of plucked from them, and they've not done a good job of replenishing that talent. So that's, I think, where they're struggling is they don't have – that's why I think a reboot, a complete – let's reorganize, and I think this is part of the process in this off season. Let's reorganize what we're doing, see if we can start to see improvement in our cars and see improvement in our organization from top to bottom. If that happens, then you can we'll start to see evidence of that out on the track on a consistent basis.
And if you'll think about for just a moment the history of Roush Racing, to add to what you said just a moment ago, Jason, is the fact that this was an organization that had 5 race teams once upon a time, had various Xfinity Series cars, Camping World Truck Series trucks, had the premier drivers winning races back in the day of Mark Martin. Kurt Busch got a championship back in the early 2000s. And here we are today. Roush Racing has 2 cars and 2 drivers that you would probably define as, at best, middle-of-the-pack drivers.
Mediocre was the word that came to mind.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Sean, though, that part of that that's kind of fallen on them? They've not adapted and changed like some of these other organizations or as quickly, and that's caused them to get behind the eight ball a little bit.
And there may be a lack of not only the leadership, Jack Roush is not willing to adapt to change, but also money. It takes, you know, the premier sponsors to bring in the money to hire those engineers, to hire and to have the capital ability to make the investments. Roush Fenway brought in Fenway, the ballpark folks, but it doesn't seem like that they have done what it's taken to stay up to date with the competition.
Well, and to your point, you've got to have marketable drivers, right? And we have, both of you mentioned, we've got really mediocre drivers
well,
that are not really
don't
marketable.
Well, don't you think when you start losing people like, you know, Mark Martin retires, you lose your you have Kenseth that drove there for, you know,
Edwards.
You got Edwards, you know, you got guys once, and what did they bring in behind that? Now, at some point in time, youth has got to be served, and you're going to bring some younger guys in, but I just don't think, you know, they took some gambles on some guys and not got the payoff in return. Now they're hopefully restructuring things where they can get some of this. I mean, I do like some of their young talent behind them, but, you know, these guys that are up, these 4 guys, you know, the 2 guys that are leading the way right now are iffy at best, and we'll see if this reorganization kind of moves the team forward.
And with these drivers that you've mentioned, they left Roush Fenway not winning races, and they have moved on to an organization
and
putting them in victory lane.
All of a sudden, it's amazing. When Kenseth and Edwards and all those guys left, next thing you know, these 2 guys are all of a sudden checker flags, doing backflips off the cars. We got Kenseth banging Metallica out there because they're winning races. You know, it's not rocket science, is it?
And it really is kind of sad, guys. I mean, when I first started watching racing, you could guarantee the 6 Valvoline car out there, the 99 XI with Jeff Burton was out there. Those guys were competing for wins week in and week out. Now they're non-existent. So it is kind of sad to see that demise in that organization.
I think we all can agree this is going to be a pivotal year for Jack Rouse.
Well, I think it's. I think what as a fan, you know, as a fan of the sport, I want to see them succeed. But we've got to start to see improvement.
Right.
I don't think there was a stretch, maybe a 2 or 3 race stretch last year where you said, "Woo, they're getting a little racy." But then, you know, it dips, you know, the ebb and flow. I want to see consistency. I want to see them, let's start running top 15. Then let's see if we can elevate that and start running some top 10. And I think maybe with just the 2 cars this year, they can focus a little more attention on that. And see if they can start to generate that week-to-week improvement that's gonna take to run with the top teams right now.
All right, so that's talking about the drivers. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about the new sponsorship change. There's been 2 sponsors that since I've been watching NASCAR, and that's Winston, Nextel, and then Sprint, which is kind of the same company because Sprint bought Nextel. But now we introduce Monster Energy. I've heard, Sean, and this is something that I heard over and over, is Coca-Cola is finally getting in the sport. So me being the banker, I go back and do a little research. Coca-Cola did own Monster Energy along with NOS and several or 9 other energy drinks and then sold it to the company called Monster. So Monster, in return, sold their non-energy drinks back to Coca-Cola. So no, Coca-Cola does not own Monster Energy. So it's its own company. They've done a lot as far as sponsoring motorsports. But it's almost like, Sean, they come in and then things start changing in NASCAR.
Well, when you go to the Monster Energy website, it is amazing all the different types of sports and things that they participate in with sports marketing. They are going to fill a void that NASCAR has been missing, and that is the void of reaching the millennials. Mm-hmm. NASCAR has struggled to do that. Their numbers have proven that. Monster Energy, that is their demographic. They know how to reach the millennials very well. So that's, I think, one of the biggest things that they're going to be able to bring to NASCAR. They're going to open up this younger fan base, which is the fan base for the future. Now, one thing that kind of concerns me with saying all that is NASCAR's got to be careful and not forget about the older generation fan base and get so focused on the new generation. So it's going to be a balancing act that NASCAR is going to have to constantly monitor.
Well, coming from the business aspect of it all, exactly what you said is what I've been thinking about on why they would go out and get Monster. That's the struggle with every business in the United States now. You're trying to figure out how to get that younger crowd, but like Sean said, you have to be really careful not to change so much that you get away from your identity to begin with, what, you know, got you started in NASCAR. So I want to say that it's going to be a good thing. I know Brian France said that in an article that Monster Energy is one that he had picked out for a while. And one that he was looking at. I don't know that, Jason, in the last year or whatever we were talking about it, even talking with Alex Hayden, that Monster Energy to us was even on the map as a possibility.
I was thinking Monster Energy and kind of reflecting on what Sean said there. I look at Monster Energy Supercross or, you know, X Games or things like mm-hmm. that. So you are reaching a different demographic there. But, no, I wouldn't have thought Monster Energy would be a top choice. But you know, money talks, and hey, you know,
not as much money.
But you know, it's a good thing.
And another thing to add to this, it's going to be good for the sport. Is Monster Energy markets in over 128 countries across the globe, so they're going to be able to introduce NASCAR to various parts of the world that maybe haven't been aware of NASCAR.
Should be interesting. I mean, but you know, to get back to that point, is that not one of the biggest complaints that we've had from, I guess, the old school NASCAR fans, as we've kind of taken it out of the area that it started and we've expanded it across the country? And their opinion, I know in a couple that I know, that's what's kind of lost a lot of fans for the sport.
Well, it always depends on who you ask. If you right. ask someone that's in their 20s or 30s, no, that's not.
They're going to say that right. the sport has not been promoted and to me.
Yeah, but if you ask someone that's, say, mid-40s and older.
Be careful now.
Yeah. You know, and
be careful.
And Scott and I, we can relate to that part. You know, we remember the days, the glory days of Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty and some of those guys. So I truly believe it just depends on the age demographic of who's giving their opinion.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting. All right, we need to take a break.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the rule changes. So if you thought that we've given you enough information now that was kind of shocking in the offseason.
Yeah, get your calculators ready. There'll be a quiz at the end of the next, before the next commercial break.
Exactly. You're going to see what all is changing. In my opinion, I think it's very exciting. We'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in, we're a radio show that's about NASCAR, and we're here each Wednesday at 5 o'clock on 101.3 The Buzz, coming to you live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. And, of course, we're a production of Whitfield Media Group, who we might have somebody in here as a guest that might know something about that. I'm Jamie Kyle. I have Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, and that special guest is Mr. Sean Whitfield. Sean, it's always great to have you here.
Thank you for having
me. This is the point where you talk, Sean, and answer my questions.
He's a professional. He was waiting for the non-professional
to get finished. Up, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to say this before we get started. Guys, I'm happy and proud to be a part of what you're doing here, and this is the way I look at it. Whitfield Media Group, we do well at producing shows and kind of polishing up a diamond, so to speak. You guys are the diamond. You guys are the talent. You guys are the knowledge. So we're just bringing something on, and we're going to make you guys shine a little bit more. And for all the folks out there listening today, or you're driving home, when you see these guys in public, they're going to start carrying Sharpies around. So make sure that you ask them for their autograph. Yeah.
Well, if you'll, before you leave, I'll slip you that 50. I only paid him
20. I mean, that was the...
Well, I needed $50.
And ladies, too, by the way, these guys are all married.
Right, that is true. Happily married. Yeah. With kids. So, all right, Sean, that just went and took us on a long and winding road. All right, we have talked a bunch about the changes in NASCAR. Here is the thing that was probably most confusing for NASCAR fans out there is the rule changes this year. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say before we kind of get in the nuts and bolts of it that I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to break up a little of the mundane racing that could happen during the middle of a race, and it's going to make it more challenging. And the fact that it's going to make you race early in order to try to earn points and possibly a championship point. So, Sean, when the news first broke that there was going to be a press conference and we were going to talk about rule changes and everything else, did you think that it would ever involve each race having three segments to it?
No, I didn't. I wasn't surprised that NASCAR was going to change the format, but I was surprised at how they were going to break it up into three segments. A couple of things that really stand out to me is the fact that it's going to bring competition up to another level. As we see sometimes in races where the first 50 laps is what people want to watch, and then they want to watch the final 25 or 30 laps.
We like to call that nap time. Yeah. Around here. So you set your clock to about, you know, to about 20-30 minutes left in the race, and you take your nap after you've watched the first.
And that's no more, because exactly. NASCAR realizes that there's folks out there and NASCAR fans that watch the sport in that type of style. There's going to be competition throughout the entire race. You're going to want to stay close to it. And NASCAR, you know, did a collaborative effort among team owners, track presidents, NASCAR fans, drivers, and came up with this championship system. And they're getting away with the term chase, which I think is good, because when you mention chase to people that don't know NASCAR that well, they look at you kind of funny, like, well, what are you talking about?
Don't you have to always qualify that by saying playoffs?
But if you say playoffs or championship playoffs, Everybody gets that, as well as sponsors get it. So it is got some good points, but it is also going to be a system that we're all going to have to be paying attention to the television or listening to the radio to have somebody keep us up to date until we all learn it.
Jason, don't you think, in your opinion, that it's a great thing that they're doing by awarding points to the drivers who win each segment? Instead of, you know, the All-Star race we've had for years, and it's always been segmented, and there's really nothing if you win. I mean, they've inverted the field and done all kinds of things. Now there's points involved that go towards the playoff, and I think that's going to make a big difference.
I think it's great. You know, you get those playoff points going into it. I mean, all that's null and void when you go to Homestead, of course. Right. But you get those playoff points there. And also, the regular season champion is going to get those 15 points yeah. for the playoffs as well. I think it's a great thing. I think NASCAR really did their homework on this. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like Sean said, it's going to keep you glued to the TV more so than watching the first 30 laps, and then it's a snooze fest after that, but you're getting to see multiple restarts.
Well, to go on the TV thing, Sean, I think TV was very much involved in this decision because they want to, you know, as a fan watching, I think one of the biggest things I see complaints on Twitter is about how many commercial breaks they are during a race. And with segments like this and breaking it up, it's like having intermissions or half times where you can kind of have set commercial times when things are going to go. So as a fan or as a spectator, I know that I'm not going to miss anything if I get up and go because I know that there's going to be built-in breaks, built-in cautions at certain points in time where I can go take care of going to the restroom or going to get something to eat or if I'm at home, you know, taking care of business or whatever I need to do around there. So I think TV was very much involved in this part of the process.
I agree. Television certainly is the driving force of NASCAR when it comes to major decisions. The fan base is next. I always say NASCAR is a business first and a sports second, but it's going to eliminate those races like Talladega in the final 10 races of the year where you've got, say, Carl Edwards is riding at the back of the pack because he's already made it into the chase. And say you're a NASCAR fan and you paid $100 to come watch that race to see your favorite driver to try to race for a win.
People are having that same argument right now in like the NBA when a star player comes to your town and he takes a seat mm-hmm. and if he only comes to town once a year, I mean, you're paying a lot of money to see that guy sit on the bench. And I think the same kind of effect as Sean, you were saying there is that you want to see those guys up there mixing it up, trying to gain some points.
The only thing that I have, I guess, against it is I'm a big traditionalist, and
here we go. Setting your ways.
I know. I think of the Daytona 500 and
get the rock and chisel out.
Right, you're really going to Harry Gant, right? You're going to mess up the whole tradition of what is the Great American Race, where it's 500 miles, and the winner at that race kind of sets the tone for the year and going from there. So I would be good with it, and of course they don't care what I think, but I would be good with it if they left Daytona alone and then kind of
around
the rest of it.
You sit around with rabbit ears and watch standard definition TV, or you get your AM radio out and listen to them do the race. No, I got HD, I got 4K, I got all that now. It's adapting in times and changing with the times, traditionalist.
I don't have rabbit ears, but I would listen to AM radio. I could tell you that right now, that's for sure. So we talked about the championship points. Jason brought up the regular season champion, or the regular season champion. I kind of like that, is if you do so well over a certain amount of races or whatever, we've kind of lost sight at times of drivers that'll do really good in the regular season and then, kind of have a bad 10 races. Because if you think about it, that's a lot of pressure in 10 races. A couple bad things happen and you're out, and that kind of kills the year that you've had. Sean, do you think that – why did they do that? Is it for that reason or – I don't know.
I think it is – I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about making the sport better and making racing better and more competitive. I also want to make sure that we point this out to our listeners, is we still have the final 16 drivers in the final
playoff
at the start of the 10 races. So even though we're doing away with the name Chase, it is a 10 race playoff where we go three races and lose four and on down the line. So I just think it's going to bring new strategy to the sport. It's going to bring more excitement. I think it's going to open the eyes of our young millennial generation that Monster Energy is going to be able to tap into. And it's, life is about change. And I think now is a good time for NASCAR to make this change.
Are you okay with that?
I think I'm okay.
There's nothing you can do about it, but I just want to make sure, if you need a hug or something.
But it does seem complicated right now, but we're all going to look back at this a few months from now. We're going to go, this really isn't as complicated as we thought it was going to be.
Well, you just think about in the previous chase, you've always got the points changing constantly. I mean, it's just one thing after another. I can't imagine them having to keep up with everything that's going to go on here as far as who has the points and stuff like that, because at the end of the race, they have time to really put that together and then show you, and you know where you're at. Now you've got three different segments where points are going to be gained, and then the championship point aspect.
Right. The only thing to me that's confusing about the whole process is you can get points by finishing in the top 10 in regular. Those are regular season points. It goes towards your regular season point total. But if you win, you get a playoff point. And there's some things that I'm still trying to mathematically work through. We're going to take it, we got to break out the T180 calculator tonight, and we're going to do some grafting and see if we can come to grasp with what it's all about. But, I'm excited about the new format. I think it's going to cut into my nap time, which I'm still not sure that I'm totally okay with. But I think it's going to bring, there's a little more drama throughout. And I think that's what sometimes gets a little lacking. It's going to give cars that have the opportunity to run better at the start of the race. A lot of times we'll see guys start out good and kind of fall off or something like that, to still gain some points and do some things. So I don't even know in what ways it's all going to affect a race yet. We're going to have to wait and see it all in action. But I think it's got a lot of intrigue, and I think there's, because of the amount of people that had input into the decision, I think it's going to benefit. They are very excited, and they think it's going to benefit the sport. I think we as fans are just going to have to sit and have a little faith and a little trust in them right now.
I think also the other thing, Jason, is they're going to – the 125s. You're getting points now for the 125s, where you had drivers that if they were already in the race, and felt pretty good about their position, they might not do that well. But now there's incentive because you can earn points for the 125s.
Yeah, I definitely like it. I mean, you're out there, it's going to prevent you from going back there and sandbagging. Like Sean was talking about Talladega last year, all those Gibb cars, in the chase, when it was the chase, sandbagging the back. So I think it's interesting. I think it's great. I'd love to see them start doing something like that for the All-Star race, even awarding points and segments in the All-Star race, too.
Yeah.
One thing that concerns me, one last point I want to make, that concerns me about this new program, is I hope that we don't lose some of our old-time NASCAR fans that go, this is
too
complicated. Yeah, it's too complicated. NASCAR is not what it used to be. And we're losing them. We're picking up the young generation, but we're losing on the other side as quick as we're adding new fans. And we're not growing the sport like we had all hoped for.
But Sean, for those of us who went to the Cleveland Speedway and watched dirt track racing, I mean, I know you were too good to go to the dirt track races, but I mean, for those of us who went to those races, and then you think about NASCAR back in the day. You had heat races, and then you had a
feature. I thought the heat races may be the direction they go. I think this is probably a little more – that's a little more radical ideal to do heat races. So this is kind of a bridge between heat races and not doing anything. And I think this is probably a good compromise.
It sure is. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of more changes – we say minor changes. And then we're going to break down the shootout coming this weekend, Saturday night. Look forward to that. First time seeing the cars on the track. We're going to talk about all that and more when we come back. You're listening to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. We got Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, special guest Sean Whitfield, hanging out in the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. Had a packed show. I mean, it's almost like I was thinking this offseason back.
It's almost like we had two whole months off.
Yeah, and we needed two whole hours to get through all this. So definitely a lot of information
physically,
to go over.
I'll be honest with you. I'm running on six cylinders.
Oh, there's that NASCAR thing you were wanting to say earlier. All right, let's get back into it. We've talked about some of the rules changes that are going to happen with the three segments. NASCAR comes out and starts talking about damaged vehicles.
Yeah, I was hoping we were going to get to that, because that was going to be another one of my analogies that I used.
You can't use that until later now, but anyway.
Thanks for ruining that for
you me. Are a damaged vehicle.
I am.
That comes with age, and it's evident you're there. So, damaged vehicle policy that NASCAR comes out with. What was the first, Jason, in your opinion, we've got cars that ride around, and they usually cause two or three cautions because parts fall off and stuff like that. Do you think this is a good move for NASCAR?
I really do. But you really sit and think about it. If you're at Talladega, how often do those cars that are damaged with sheet metal replaced actually come back and win a race?
Right.
You know, that's the thing here. You know, they're not allowed back out there if they're doing that. I don't know. The first thing that popped into my head was Martinsville, I mean, yeah. Just to be honest with you. You know, with all the modifieds running around out there. So I think it's a good thing that they're doing that. But I don't know. It's mixed reaction on it.
Scott, one of the things, there's an amount of time on pit road that they have to get it fixed. If they go behind the wall, they're done.
Yeah, if they go behind the wall, if it's something that has to be repaired behind the wall, they're done for the day. So I think it's going to have major implications. Probably not. It's probably been hard for us to kind of gather and fathom what kind of implications it's going to have until we actually see it in practice, because we're used to guys, you know, how many times have we seen our favorite driver, your favorite driver, Jamie's favorite driver, Danica Patrick, you know, go behind the wall and, you know, got to find, but they get out, they spend, you know, an hour getting that thing fixed just to go out there to try to win, you know, try to get 3, 4, 5, 6 more points. Well, that's no longer going to be the case. So I think it's going to have major championship implications moving forward. I want to see it in action, because I'm sure there's going to be some complaining, because it's what can you fix that can get you back out there quickly, and what can't you fix?
Sean, do you think this would, it's going to make you think about who you bring to the track and put on your pit crew for the over-the-wall pit crew? You're going to have people there that could really do some quick body work and get that stuff taken care of in a hurry.
Well, actually, you're not going to be able to do much body work, because you have a total of 5.
You've got to strip it off, right?
Yeah, you have a total of 5 minutes, and that means if you come into the pit and you're there for 2 minutes, you come back around, you pit again, that time's going to count against you. What I think this is going to help the drivers that are, you know, doing well in the race is it's going to prevent another accident, because there's nothing worse than seeing a car out there that's bandaged up. It's got some sheet metal rubbing a tire, and the next thing you know, that car ends up in a wall and causing you to wreck.
Right.
So it's going to prevent that. It's also going to save these teams a lot of money, because all of these teams have been paying a transportation company to haul around their crash carts. And on the crash cart, it has every kind of piece of equipment and body work that you can think of that's on these race cars. And they're not going to have to pay to transport that. They're also going to be able to have to. They're also going to be able to come to the racetrack with fewer people, because they don't have to have as many specialists to help piece a car back together if it's wrecked. Because once it's wrecked, if it's not able to go back on the track within 5 minutes, it's done for the day.
But you park that baby in the trailer, and we're headed somewhere else.
That is true. I mean, one of the things that is mentioned in the actual policy is they can use tape to hold, you know, some of the parts on or put the parts back on. Is that really any different than what they do now? I mean, that does cause a lot of cautions when you put the tape on. The tape kind of comes off, and you go from there. So I don't know that part's
I've got
any
some
different.
Tape holding me together.
Right. Well, keep in mind, it has to be to NASCAR's discretion.
Right. Which that's in the rule book.
Yeah.
That
can mean a lot of things. But I think overall, this was a good decision. All the drivers seem to be in support of it, and I think it's going to save these teams a lot of money. However, on the flip side, as we see, whenever you save a race team a lot of money, they seem to figure out another place to spend it.
That is true. So that should be interesting to see. And like Scott said, I think a lot of these things that we've talked about today as far as rule changes and stuff, we just have to see it in action to see how it's going to play out. And I think Daytona is going to have a huge emphasis on it, not just because it is the great American race, and I'm a big traditionalist and love that, but the fact that you're going to see a lot of these new rule changes in place.
Yeah.
That's good. Thanks,
I
Scott.
Agree.
All right, good. I thought I haven't shown
well,
here.
Listen, that was so, you know,
some
that was
information.
So, that was so
in
intelligent that I didn't think there was any reason to add anything to it.
I tell you, between Sean telling me
I need
a Sharpie.
I nodded in appreciation.
And you calling me intelligent, I don't know what I'm going to do when I leave here today. So.
Well. Maybe turn your head sideways to get to the door.
Well, one thing we won't have to worry about is if somebody does wreck their car and needs to have the damage fixed and can't get it fixed, is NASCAR is going to have a traveling safety team. Sean, I've, of course, been mentioned on the show that I followed NASCAR for a long time. I don't ever remember them having this.
They haven't. They've always depended on the local medical team of whatever city that they were racing in. And this is something that the Driver Council can take a lot of credit for. They are the ones that have pushed NASCAR to have a couple of medical professionals on staff to follow the circuit, to follow the series, that know all of their medical history. And when you look at other forms of racing, NHRA, IndyCar, they've had that for a long time. This has been one of those pieces of NASCAR that has always puzzled a lot of us as fans as to why NASCAR hasn't had it. But it's something that NASCAR has now taken seriously, and it's going
to
be here
for the
entire season.
Do you think the junior that...
So I was just about to say
do
that.
Do you think that Dale's injury and all that kind of played a role in that, or do you think this is something that they've probably been in discussion about for several years now?
This is something I believe it's been going on for a while, but I think we haven't seen the end of what happened to Junior last year having side effects to many drivers in the future. I think that a lot of folks looked at what happened to Dale Junior last year, and that was a wake-up call. So I think there'll be more side effects to come.
Well, and I think it was from a medical standpoint and a health standpoint, I think it was important for him to and to have as much conversation as he had about that to make people aware that, hey, look, you know, he raced a couple more weeks after the initial incident before they finally said, you know, look, something's not right here. And then, you know, at the time I thought, you know, maybe takes 5-6 weeks off, you know, and it ended up being almost half the season, seemed like. So I think it was important, especially with a high-profile guy like that, that if something happened to him, I think it makes the kind of racing community say, oh, we need to be paying attention to this more, as obviously we've seen in football, the concussion talk and all that sort of stuff. So I think this is a natural step in the progression of NASCAR, kind of realizing that, hey, it's going to be great to have medical teams at the facility that have information and background working with those people. And it's safety is a big concern and a big issue. And NASCAR is always doing things to the cars to kind of make it safer. I think this is a logical step in that process.
Very much is. And I think it makes a lot of sense, because who's to say that if they had this in place when Dale Earnhardt originally wrecked at Kansas in practice and had his first concussion, that would have been aware of the symptoms he was having and going through that, so that if it happened again, they might have been able to catch it earlier instead of him waiting. So I think it's a great move on NASCAR. It almost, from one sense, kind of protects them as well, because they know the medical history of the driver, so nobody can come back and say anything. We've got to hurry, because I want to talk about the Advanced Auto Parts Clash, as I was corrected by my boss man a few minutes ago when we were on break. Advanced Auto Parts Clash. It's going to be a little different this year. We got 20 drivers, but actually we're not going to have 20 drivers. Alex Bowman, I think, was a great move on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s part after he ran so well for him last year, to let him run the Clash and hopefully get a ride for this year. And of course, we've got Greg Biffle and Carl Edwards out. So we really have a field of 17. Is this something, and I'll just get all of your opinions on this, is this something that you guys kind of look forward to as just a, hey, let's see what everybody's got, let's see some new paint schemes, see how things go? Or do you really pay much attention to the Clash?
It's like a spring game. I mean, it's a tune-up for what's to come.
That's a great analogy.
I kind of relate it to the high school football jamboree. You know, it's kind of what kicks off the season, gets you excited. You've got 20 of the best drivers on the racetrack, 75 laps, two segments, 187.5-mile race, under the lights on Fox Saturday night to get the season kicked off. It just kind of gives you that extra shot of energy.
I'll tell you what, in the homework you did, Mr. Whitfield, right there, with 187.5, did you get that? I mean, not just 187 miles, 187.5 miles.
Or he may have just used...
I'm trying to lead by example.
Well, I had that, and I was going to say it because of the information
tremendous.
You provided. So
I feel smarter already.
That's one of the things, as I was younger, that we used to watch all the time, you know, my dad, and that was kind of the opening to the season, kind of, and really enjoyed it. And it's almost like it's became a little mundane over the years. But I think, you know, with the expectations of what's to come and some of the younger drivers out there this year, it should be pretty good. All right.
One last point for the Junior Nation.
No,
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is back in the race car for the Daytona 500. He says he's healthy. He's going to be there all year. He missed the final 18 races, and NASCAR is thrilled about this because it certainly had an effect on the ratings.
Right. It's a big deal. I mean, when you have the most popular driver in the sport – the guy that that moves the meter ratings wise is not in your playoffs, not on your TV. He'll be on your TV this weekend, but just not driving. He'll be him and Gordon and Waltrip and Mike Joy will be in the booth, but it's a big deal to have him back in the sport and back involved.
It's kind of like watching the Masters and Tiger Woods is not playing. It just doesn't seem the same.
Right, especially at this racetrack. If I could spit that out correctly.
I think you did a good job of that. So it should be interesting. I know that's Jason's favorite
driver.
I blew
a tire. There's another analogy.
Danica Patrick now, you know, at least can go racing that Aspen Dental, you know, stepped on board to take over the failed sponsorship that she had with the nice healthy living food company.
Where's that promo that had Danica Patrick?
We need to get
that. We're going to hear that a lot this year.
All right. I promise you that. All right. That does it for this edition of Racing Talk Radio. Join us next week at 5 o'clock on 101.3 The Buzz. For Scott Webb, for Jason Hildebrand, and boss man Sean Whitfield, I'm Jamie Kyle. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.